All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, on this time together. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, understanding. Father, help us to have discernment, Father, to know between good and evil. Father, again, we just thank you for all that you do for us. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to just open our Bibles to Romans chapter 16. Verse 16. What I want to talk about this morning is discernment, wisdom. I appreciated the boys, the attributes of God. You know, we look at Jesus and his life, and one of the boys brought out that how he was patient with people on one hand, and he was actually turning tables over and braided a whip on the other hand. And that sometimes looks like it doesn't really fit together, but yet Jesus had the wisdom and the discernment to know when to be patient and when to be firm. And that is, a lot of times we, you know, people look at Christians sometimes, or sometimes we think of ourselves that if we ever, you know, get bristled or something, that we just don't have the Spirit of God because we're just so, you know, that just doesn't feel good sometimes whenever we feel a little injustice or we feel like someone is not doing the way they're supposed to, and we sometimes have the idea that we've just got to have this nice face on all the time and everything has to just be so even keeled, and we can never get, you know, we just can't get upset. But if we look at the life of Jesus, and I'm not just giving an excuse so you can just go out and get mad, because anger is, you know, anger is very destructive. But temper, without temper, we are just a piece of Play-Doh. And so what I'm trying to get to us this morning is to get across to us is to be able to have enough strength to be useful and still being in control. And that's where what happens with anger. A lot of times once we get so angry, then we're out of control. And once we get out of control, we do a lot of stupid things and do things that are all... And so, you know, what I'm trying to get us to see this morning is that how to be like Jesus, to be so patient with people who need it. And yet, there's people in the world, there's people that were at Jesus' times that were just, they were in there just making a mockery of God and looking like everything was just right. You know, I imagine the people in there selling the things in the temple. Jesus said, "You've made my house into a den of thieves." And I can just imagine those people. You know, we don't think about them that much, but these were the religious people. And I can just imagine these people in here that are buying and selling and trading. We've got the image of someone that's just a shyster in there doing all of this. But you know what I see when I look at these people that are in there buying and selling? They're probably people that are offering their, you know, they're offering sacrifices to the Lord. They would probably never lose their temper. They'll probably never get upset. They're the ones that are putting on this face of the religion. And they're in there while they're peddling the gospel. They would have the most upright of character to look upon. And no, they would never be one that would raise their voice and get problems. And they were probably ones that would look at Jesus and say, look at this guy. He just completely lost his mind. And just be ready to point the finger right at that guy. In fact, he's just gone crazy. They said of him, the zeal of my house has eaten him up, is what the Bible says that it says. Because he was able to see when someone, they can see through those faces that are just so phony. And that's hard for us to do sometimes, because a lot of times we see that religious Play-Doh. I mean, it's just, there's no temper in it at all. It's just molded into this nice smiling face, and they don't really have any, you know. And it takes some character. You know, a lot of times when we mash our thumb or we hurt ourselves, we just kind of roll with it. And it takes some character to do that. So I'm not talking about someone who's not able to feel pain or be hurt, that is able to go through with things like that and it doesn't really ruin their whole day. Then on the other hand, just pure evil is running rampant, and we just, it's no big deal. It doesn't bother us. Doesn't make any difference. And that's, I just think about that a lot. You know, we want to be friendly people. We want to be friends with people. And we want to be kind, and we want to be patient. But you know, Jesus was that way too. But yet there were some people that he just wouldn't just pretend around, because he knew there was more than it appeared on the surface. And like I said, there's times that people, or Jesus just got, it probably didn't look too pretty to bystanders. But there was a principle there that he was maintaining that was much higher than just what people's original emotion went to. There's people that are, I just don't understand how, you know, there's people that have just caused all kinds of problems in the church. Let's read this first. Romans chapter 16, verse 16, says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. We see this, you know, that's why we greet each other with a holy kiss. It's something that the Bible mentions four times, I think, and there are four or five maybe in different places. It talks about greeting one another with the holy kiss. A welcome, a glad to see you, and greet one another with a holy kiss even. You know, it's a blessed thing, it's a glorious thing, it's a neat thing. And it fits with people who love each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. It's not passionate or anything ugly. It's something that's beautiful. And the Bible tells us to do this. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And you know, today we look at the world, we look at the world of churches, and if somebody doesn't measure up to my standard, I'm not going to greet them anymore. They hold their arm out and they don't bend their shoulder or bend their elbow. They hold it out stiff so you can't get close to greeting them with the holy kiss. That's not a holy kiss. That's a kiss of judgment. That's what that is. That if someone disagrees with me, I can't greet them with a holy kiss. I'm going to hold them at arm's length. And so the holy kiss, instead of something glad to see someone, it's a kiss of judgment. And it's used that way. It's not the way it's supposed to be. One thing that kind of I think of, you know, if you offer someone to greet them and they stiff arm you, they have made the judgment themselves to which side of the fence they're on with this. I've said it before, you know, we've had people that just say, I will not commune with this person. I disagree with them. And I've told them, I said, listen, you're not excommunicating them. I don't know what exactly where they're at, but what you are doing is excommunicating yourself from the church. So whenever that's where the judging, judge not. I mean, whenever we're judging people on that level, however we judge is how we're going to be, it's going to be meted back to us again. We're setting ourselves up to be judged in the same manner. Then, on the other hand, there are times where there's just things going on that, you know, we want to be careful. So a lot of times we err way on the, I'll just be more, you know, I'll be just all lovey-dovey and friendly with everybody, you know, just no matter how bad they are. That's not real. Real discernment. A real ability to be able to distinguish from just being nice all the time to everybody, which is not right, to times where there's times that we just have to take a stand here or take and just say, what's going on? You know, like I said, we've had people that have dealt with us in churches just really bad. And then you see them on the street and they're just all smiles and want to be friendly to you. And we think, that is just so fake. How can they be that way? And on the same hand, if they're able just to be so fake and pretend all the time, and we are too, one on one hand is they've done wrong, and now they can just fake and pretend like there's nothing wrong. And then on the other hand, they've done us wrong, and we just fake and pretend like there's nothing wrong. What's the difference in that? Jesus was real. He was who he was. And whenever something wrong, he just couldn't sweep it under the rug and put a big fake smile on his face. He knew there was wrong. I guess that's what I'm talking about. What we need to be careful about is just being able to, you know, Jesus, whenever someone was wronged, I just imagine he was there by their side. You know, one of the brethren or one of the, you know, you read the Bible all the time, and who is Jesus defending? the weak that are being taken advantage of, that are being overran by someone else. He doesn't sit well with him. And I think this is the cases where he probably got a little hot under the collar, maybe we would think. We just can't hardly imagine that as Jesus. But everywhere you look in here, whenever there was times that he didn't appreciate people walking on somebody else. And he was going to stand by that person getting walked on and stand up for them. That's the character of God. Not just grinning and smiling while someone's trampling over someone else, just so we don't cause any ripples. This greet one another with a holy kiss, all of the churches greet you. You know, that's the way people use the holy kiss. Like we said, we've explained it. Churches use it as a kiss of judgment instead of a kiss of mercy. And they use communion in the same way. The early church called it the love feast. They came together and ate together. And you know, in the early church, there were several different ideas and opinions of how things should be. But they met together. You know, we have the term the Catholic Church, and a lot of times we don't like that. But you know, that's the Catholic Church just simply means the universal church. That's what the word is. It is different than what we call the Roman Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church itself is the universal church, and it was that universal church. There were divisions and there were things, people that went off on their own, but for the first 200 or 300 years, that it was called the Pax Romana, the time of peace. For 300 years after Jesus was here, there was a time of peace. There was no wars. And for the most part, the churches was getting along pretty well. And they were the universal church. They were putting into practice Jesus' teachings, and that was enough. And like I said, for 300 years, until this Roman church got involved and they began to follow after the pattern of the Roman Empire and set up powerful leaders that controlled things, and they decided that it was all right to go and kill their enemies. And they started wars, and that's what broke the Pax Romana. The Roman peace, that's what broke that. And there's been wars and wars ever since. But for 300 years after Jesus was here, it was time of peace. I read in Revelation just this week that there's coming a time when God will remove peace from the earth. You know, we think peace is just something that's... But peace is with God. God controls peace. That's why we have to be in line with Him so that there's a peaceful time. When the church was in line with Him and they were acting the way, there was peace on the earth because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And we're headed towards a time in Revelation that peace will be removed. You know, that peace, I think, has already been removed from a lot of churches. Because they would rather bicker and fight and argue and disagree and try to control people and take that peace away. All the while, just talking about how peaceful they are and how right they're standing for something. There's a time that's going away. And it says, after it talks about this, greet one another. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teachings which you learned and turn away from them. And you say, well, that doesn't really add up, does it? Because that's what everybody says they're doing if they're standing for something. They're just going to turn away from everybody that doesn't stand the way I do. Doesn't want to keep this principle that I keep. If you'll notice, almost every time whenever it talks about those who are causing division, it's those who are causing division. It's not because they're just being faithful and doing what's right. It's because they're causing division. And there's a great difference. You can do what's right and maybe suffer for it. And maybe people will stand by your side. But it's not, the purpose isn't to cause division or separate yourself. You're just taking what's coming for doing what's right. And sometimes people say, well, they caused a big division because they just were being faithful. When it was the one causing the division saying they caused the division. Here it says, I urge you, brethren, to keep your eye on those that cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned and turn away from them. We are told to keep an eye on those that we know have caused trouble, that we know that cause dissensions. We know, and that's what Jesus did. He knew that there was a difference between people that are all religious and just causing problems, and those people who are just trying to be faithful. And he had enough discernment to decide to say, I'm going to stay with that. The people that need the defending, the weak sometimes. It's hard for us because we think we're not being what we're supposed to if we don't have that big old friendly smiling face all the time. Whenever we're leery of someone. And, you know, we talk about it quite a bit that there's people that we try to help. And a lot of times you help someone and you help someone and help someone and then they just turn around and just burn you. And the tendency is, and I think the reason for that is so that we'll get hard and quit trying to help people because it just doesn't pay. But the discernment part of that is being able to know that there's people that we can't help and keep trying to help people that we can. See, the tendency is to get a hard heart and just not want to help anybody because it costs too much. You just get in trouble when you help them. So it takes some discernment, some being real, because that's our heart, to help people, to keep on trying to help people without it affecting our heart and turning our hearts hard. You know, honest people believe everyone's honest. They believe everyone they see. They just take people at face value because they're honest. You know, crooks don't believe anybody. Because they look at their own heart and they see a bunch of crooks. Somebody trying to cheat them. But an honest man looks at his own heart and through his own glasses and sees an honest man. And they just take... And so the goal is how to be an honest man and a trusting person without being a gullible person. because gullibility or being gullible is not honest. That's not what's guiding us. It's just being foolish is what's guiding us. But honesty with discernment, that's something that's a foundation, a thing that can guide us, that's worthy of guiding us. The being gullible is just like having a smile on your face all the time, just a fake thing, because you think you're trying to be friendly to everybody. It's nothing to guide you. There's nothing guiding you there. That's why these things greet one another with a holy kiss. But I urge you to keep an eye on those that you know are causing divisions. I told a man this week, you know, about, we were talking and just talking about all the divisions and all the early Anabaptists. You can just see them loving each other, and it wasn't too long till they started getting all their theology straight. And even with Menno Simons, he was excommunicating people and dividing and just making a mess, making an example, a foundation of what's happened in a lot of these plain churches over the years. Somewhere along the line, they got too smart, to be honest, with discernment. Somewhere along the line, they got too holy or too friendly or whatever without discernment. They began not to be real and just became religious. Jesus was alive. He was a real man. Like I said, we don't even like to think of it that he got upset sometimes. Because that's not like Jesus. Or so we think. But he did. The wisdom is to just make sure you have the discernment to win. There's a time to be upset about something. And when there's a time to recognize that that person has a need. I guess what I'm just trying to say is seek wisdom and discernment. Because just being friendly all the time or whatever, you know, just is not a safe way to be. We try to build these little safe houses for ourselves to where we're safe. The way to heaven is not the safe road. The way to heaven is the real road, the truth and the light. And all of this stuff is on both sides of us, good and evil. May God give us and grant us the wisdom and the grace to discern between those two and to be what we're supposed to be all the way through. I read a little thing this morning. It was pretty neat. And it talked about an older person. Somebody asked him what it was like to be that old. And this person responded that, well, my body's old, but inside I still feel like a little child. And I thought of that, and I've often felt that way. I just feel like a young man. And I think most people who haven't just completely give up feel that way inside, even though their body may be getting older. And it just, why do we feel the same? It's because that's our soul. It doesn't age. It's eternal. Our soul doesn't age. That's why, you know, our body changes and the way their abilities change. But inside, the voice that's telling us who we really are is our soul. That's being who we are. And sometimes, you know, sometimes whenever there's a wrong or an injustice, I get kind of stirred up about it. Sometimes I'm pretty quick to just, boy, that's wrong. And then a little bit later, you find out a little more information. And you know what? If we're honest, we can say, well, okay, I was wrong. Now I see a little more. Walk in the light that we have and be able just to almost shift gears because, well, I was wrong there. But still have the ability to be stirred whenever it's wrong, but have the mercy and the peace and the grace to let it balance back and forth. Have the temper to be able to kind of be a little rigid without the going overboard and being stupid and doing something stupid. But being centered on who we are. Being centered on who Jesus really was and who He is. We're not just a body. We're a soul that lives in this body. And we need to look at other people that are souls living in bodies. You know, the person that you look down your nose at and despise maybe, remember, that's another soul. You know, young people look at old people and they think, well, they're just old, but you know, and look at old people this way. That's a soul that's experienced more than I have, but their soul is just as young or just as old as my soul. That discernment. Anyway, ask the Lord for wisdom, who upbraideth not and giveth it liberally. May God add His blessings. You don't have anything you'd like to share? Well, Lord bless y'all. Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock. Depart in peace. God bless you.